Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Thank you, Chido, and the team. And so I have the opportunity to start a new series tonight. And as if you have been coming to church, we are constantly about the gospel. The gospel. And what I want to do in the next few weeks is to see some of the very practical applications of the gospel in our day-to-day lives. Is the gospel just the message on which you are saved, by which you are saved? As we will try to demonstrate, this is much more than that, and it affects a lot in our lives as we meditate on the gospel. So I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we will be reading from verse 1 to verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 1 to verse 5. This is what the Word of God says. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. Only so far in the reading of God's word. Lord, we ask you that you will please speak to us, that you would please, through your word, speak in a way that is abundantly clear, Lord. We want to hear your word. I don't have words of life, but you have words of life, O God. And so I pray that you will use me and that you will speak and that your spirit will minister to each of our hearts, Lord, that your word may accomplish that which you set it to accomplish. Help us to listen. I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So in the context of this passage, Paul is trying to correct how should Christians look at those who are teaching, at the apostles. It's almost as if Paul foresees that because Paul spoke against, hey, don't be making factions, one is of Peter, one is of Paul, one is of Apollos. Remember that in the beginning of Corinthians, he goes on to say, hey, Christ is not divided. Stop trying to make groups and all of this. No. And he's almost trying to foresee that maybe some Christians will throw the baby with the bathwater and say, actually, let us not have any regard for the apostles or those that teach God's word. You know, so don't worry about them just because Paul tried to correct them. And so Paul is here in this small section saying, well, let me show you how you should consider us. And in him telling us, in kind of correcting a better understanding of how the church should be looking at apostles, he's going to give us a look into how we should regard ourselves. So we see there in the beginning in verse 1, it says, this is how one should regard us. So Paul is talking, this is how you church should regard us as the apostles, those that are teaching, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And we'll get back to that. But he, in this section, will give us some very valuable lessons in how we should see ourselves. And here are some options, okay? And the first option that I want to point out tonight in terms of how people see themselves is one that says, all I care is what everybody thinks of me. Now, I want to show you a picture of that is not going to be long there, but it can happen to any of you. If you can put the picture. This was me just before I came to South Africa. And this is a picture of someone trying to fit in. I want to fit in with Africa. And so I went and did cornrows. Now you would have never thought of that, huh? All right, then take it out. Otherwise, it's going to be... There is that view. And I guess all of us in some ways sometimes have are influenced of this view that all I care is what everybody thinks of me. We give into the pressure that our surroundings give us. There is society pressures and I guess, you know, there is, in a way, it's not a problem. For example, let me use the way that we dress is common to the society that we are in. If I was in the rural parts of Peru where my parents were missionaries, we wouldn't be dressed like this necessarily. All the ladies will be wearing this kind of nice hats with a funny thing here on top, and big skirts, and the men will probably be wearing ponchos and things like that. And so, in one way, we are affected by how society and the environment around us tells us. But I'm going beyond just the way that we dress up. There is often people, and there is many young people here that will be very much concerned to fit in with what the world and what the latest trend is. And I thought, what example can I give of this? So I want to give the example of these TikTok challenges. And I'm sure that you've heard of them and known of them. And even as I was researching this, I came across some very bizarre ones. But I don't want to give any ideas. but I came across this one of eating Tide Pods. Now, this is more in America thing, but Tide Pod basically it's the tablet detergents that you put in the washing machine. And basically, there was a TikTok challenge where they would go and eat because it looks like a sweet thing. And knowing that it's poisonous, they will go on TikTok just to be part of the trend and eat this thing that they know they're that it's poisonous just to be part of the trend. And many teens went to hospital, some even died. So what makes someone do that? What makes an individual go to such an extent to be popular, to fit in? Now, I know you guys are smarter than that. No one is going to be eating Tide Pods here. But maybe to drive my point, let me bring it a little bit closer to home. Are you putting theological quotes in your status because you like the quote and want to share what the message of the quote is saying? Or do you want to portray that you fit in? What about theological positions? You take a theological position, is it because you have been convicted by the scriptures, or are you trying to fit a certain mold? If you're not part of the mold, what is the right way to see ourselves? Do we just go with our immediate environment? And my point is, we are pressured by our environment. 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." So, is copying everybody else the right way to see ourselves? I think you will agree with me that this is not ideal. We will have to be just completely changing because, well, our environment completely changes, society is completely changing. And what it will look like is you will end up looking like a politician, just changing views depending on what the crowd is very excited about. And we don't need Christians like politicians. We need Christians of conviction, Christians that will stand for the truth in a world and in an environment that is constantly changing. So that's one option of seeing ourselves, just fitting in with the crowd, just do what everybody else does. So that's one option. Another option is, I don't care what anyone thinks of me. I don't care what anyone thinks of me. And this is one in which today's day and age says that, well, you do you. Don't worry about anyone else. Don't listen to anyone. You live your truth. And as long as it makes you happy, that's all that matters. Have you heard that? We listen to this all the time. And in a way, you may think, well, there's part of that is a little bit liberating in a sense. You know, just like there is this constant pressure of your environment and of the world and everything, and you just say, you know what? I don't care. I just don't care anymore. I'm just gonna do me, I'm just gonna live the way I want, and just feel like the pressure is off. I don't care of what anyone thinks. Even thinking of our context, for example, the teachers, the apostles, those that preach, they would. There is a constant pressure in terms of what the congregation may think and what is the latest fad that is happening. I remember in college, in my fourth year, I was having a bit of a debate in my class with one of my classmates. She was an older woman, and obviously the topic of women in woman preachers or woman pastors, you know, comes out, and then there was this debate. It wasn't heated or anything, but I tried to stand my ground, and I was going back and forth with her, and I remember afterwards, you know, going to her and we just chatting friendly, I remember she told me, "You won't survive this day and age in ministry with that theological position," and it makes me think, you know, yeah, there is a lot of pressure in terms of, well, what the world wants you to say, what is going to be good and okay for us to say, and what is not. But we hear all the time today in movies, in advertisement, that don't worry about anyone else. Just do you and be happy. That's the most important thing. Carl Truman, he said something very interesting in a book, The Modern Self. Listen to what he says. "The intuitive moral structure of our modern social imaginary prioritizes victimhood, sees selfhood in psychological terms, regards traditional sexual codes as oppressive and life-denying, and places, listen to this, a premium on the individual's right to define his or her own existence. All these things play into legitimizing and strengthening those groups that can define themselves in such terms. They capture, one might say, the spirit of the age." And isn't that what we see today? We see that, well, today you can redefine yourself in whatever way you want. Don't worry about societal norms. Don't worry about history or even biology. You know, those things are oppressive. No, just worry about your individual right to define your own existence. Can you see what he's saying here? This is the way of the spirit of the age. We are really encouraged to think of ourselves in an individualistic manner, not be bound by such oppressive norms of the past. Tim Keller says, "Up until the 20th century, traditional cultures," and this is true of most cultures in the world, "always believed that too high a view of yourselves was the root cause of all evil in the world. Our belief today, and it is deeply rooted in everything, is that people misbehave for lack of self-esteem and because they have too low a view of themselves." So today, everything is looking to the self. You're misbehaving, oh, it's because you're not thinking enough about you. This comes from the book of The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And I must confess that I read this book a couple of years ago, and one of the best books that I've ever read. I was really influenced. I went and listened to the book again this week in preparation, and a lot of it has influenced this sermon. But what does Paul say? But is this the way we should see ourselves? just an individual way. Look there in verse 3. But with me, it is a very small thing that I shall be judged by you or by any human court. So the Greek word for any human court is the word hemera, which is usually translated day. And this has led some of the scholars to conclude that Paul was referring to the thinking of his day. That is the thinking of his culture. And he's saying, it doesn't weigh heavy on me that he should be judged by the crowds or the congregation. It doesn't weigh heavy on him. He's not bothered by their judgment. So I ask the question, was Paul just ahead of his time? Was Paul just kind of had this modern self in mind? Let's keep reading, which leads me to my third point. My opinion is not that great either. Look at what he continues to say. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Now, that's completely different. So, on one hand, Paul is saying, actually, what everyone thinks, what the crowd thinks, what the congregation thinks and judges about me, it doesn't weigh heavy on me. It really doesn't bother me very much. Now, the modern self will be saying, it only matters what I think. But Paul doesn't go on to say, it only matters what I think. He goes on to say, actually, I don't even judge myself. In other words, Paul is saying, even what I think, that is not a big deal either. My opinion about myself is not great either. He goes on to say in verse 4, for I am not aware of anything against myself. So, I'm not aware of anything against myself. And in the next phrase he says, but I am not thereby acquitted. In other words, just because I don't think there is any charge against me doesn't mean that I'm in the clear. It doesn't mean that I am in the clear. Can you see that Paul doesn't put much weight on what others think of him? Neither does he put much weight on what he thinks of himself. And this is not to say that there's never a place to self-examine. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying the weight is not there. He's not much concern about what the other thinks of him or what he thinks of himself. So how does Paul get to this point? How do we view ourselves in a way where people's opinion of you don't crush you? That you're not constantly thinking, oh, what are people going to think of me? Have you ever been in a situation like that? Where you walked into a room or a meeting or something and you're like, what are they thinking of me? And you're super self-conscious about what you're wearing and what you say. Maybe it's an interview or something and you're like, ugh. You can be almost sick. It's like, oh, what are people going to be thinking about me? So how do we get to a point where those opinions don't crush you? And at the same time, that you can hear and take criticism. How do we view ourselves in a way that we have a healthy self-examination, but at the same time, it's not all-determining because you know your view of yourselves is also skewed. See, the reality is even our view of ourselves is often skewed. We have a perception of what we look like in the eyes of others. And that is not always true. Because we have blind spots. There are things in our character, in our mannerisms, that you don't see it, but everybody else sees it. And so, you as judge of yourself is also not very accurate. So what is the answer? That last little phrase of verse 4. It is the Lord who judges me. It is the Lord who judges me. He hints at it end of verse 5 as well. Then each one will receive his condemnation from God. We need to understand that the right judge of our character is only God. It's only God. One commentator, Ellsworth, says the following: congregational pressure, cultural pressure, personal pressure are all tainted with human fallibility and frailty and cannot be trusted to be completely accurate. In the last analysis, only one thing matters: how the Lord looks at us. The only thing that matters is how the Lord looks at us. God is the final judge. So how does God look at us? And this is where the gospel comes in. This is how the gospel, the death of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, affects me today in the way that I see myself. What does the gospel tell us? The gospel tells us that I am a sinner. That you and I are sinners. That we are prone to wonder. That we failed. That we are not fundamentally good. But then the gospel also tells us that Jesus on the cross took our sins, and if we have repented and put our faith in Him, we have received His righteousness. So God looks at us and sees Jesus. And you may think, well, Isaac, how does this help me in my day to day? Let me get Keller's help here. And bear with me with this long quote, but it is really good. Listen what he points out. Do you realize that it is only in the gospel of Jesus Christ that you get the verdict before the performance? The atheist might say that they get their self-image from being a good person. They are a good person and they hope that eventually they will get a verdict that confirms that they are a good person. Performance leads to the verdict. For the Buddhist too, performance leads to the verdict. If you are a Muslim, performance leads to the verdict. All this means that every day you are in the courtroom. Every day you are on trial. That is the problem. But Paul is saying that in Christianity, the verdict leads to performance. It is not the performance that leads to the verdict. In Christianity, the moment we believe, God says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." See, God, God says you are justified. You and I don't have to have this pressure of constantly being in the courtroom or constantly performing, because we know the verdict. There is this huge pressure off our shoulders because we know heaven awaits us. I don't have to worry about trying to earn the title of good. Or I don't have to try to earn a kind of I'm better than others, because I'm a sinner being saved by grace. So the gospel gives us an accurate view of ourselves. We are sinners. We've been saved by grace. The verdict is out. I'm saved. I'm sorted. And because of that, I live out good works. I do good things. I can help someone without having to feel pride, because hey, this is not earning me anything. This is just a result of my salvation. I've already been saved. I don't have to earn anything. So in one way, it takes the pressure off all the crowds and all of that. And it reminds us that I'm justified. It is for freedom that He has set me free. And so, how are you seeing yourself? Are you just trying to go with all the fads, with everyone, with what the world is concerned? Or on the other opposite end, are you just trying to be individualistic, not care about what anyone else says and thinks? Just trying to portray what you think of yourself? Or are you having an accurate view of who you are? A true identity that is derived by the gospel. That you are both more sinful than you can ever imagine, and at the same time, so loved by Christ that He died on the cross for our sins. I pray and hope that the Lord will help us to have a clear view of how we see ourselves. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank You because in Jesus Christ we have a true identity. We don't need to be seeing ourselves according to what the world says or even what we ourselves say. But we want to thank You that we can, through the gospel, live day by day, deriving our identity from You, from the gospel. So I pray, Lord, for anyone here tonight that have not found their identity in Christ yet, Lord. I pray that they will surrender to Jesus Christ, that they will repent of their sins and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, Lord. I ask You, Lord, that You would help each one of us to live day by day having the right perception of ourselves. We thank you that Jesus died for our sins. We thank you that we are justified freely by his grace. We adore you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.